May the Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 283. 'Tis a point I long to know, oft it causes anxious thought. Do I love the Lord or no? Am I his or am I not? 283.
Point I long to Let us read together from God's holy word two portions. Firstly, Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, and reading chapter 5. 2 Corinthians and chapter 5. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven, if so be that being clothed, we should not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labour, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that ye may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance, and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge, that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore henceforth know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away, behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now let us turn to the Gospel according to Luke. Gospel according to Luke chapter 7, and we will just read from verse 36 through to the end. Luke chapter 7 from verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. That is, the Lord Jesus Christ went and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said unto him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee. And he saith, Master, say on. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he said unto him, Thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears, and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Therefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. And he said unto her, Thy sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, Who is this that forgiveth sins also? And he said to the woman, Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace. May the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, thou who knowest the hearts of all men, thou who dost read behind every action and every deed what is the spring of the heart, Lord, we gather before thee at this evening hour and seek of thee the blessing of Almighty God, thy blessing, upon this company, and Lord, particularly on those that thou know dost need thy blessing this evening. Lord, we have read of one that in the midst of a company thou didst bless her. And O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be pleased to suit and send thy word this evening. Be pleased through the ministry of thy word to answer the inquiry of our opening hymn. Lord, we pray that there might be those here who do have that inquiry. 'Tis a point I long to know. Lord, do reveal to thy people that they are thy people, and that thou hast shed abroad in their hearts a Saviour's love, and that the fruits of it are there. O Lord, we do seek of thee, that thou mightest be the interpreter. Lord, for thou alone art judge. Lord, we must all at last stand before thy throne, and we pray that we might in the day of grace, and that while we are found around thy word, that thou wouldst come and make known the true case of thy people. O Lord, if there is one here that desires with Rahab that thou wouldst give them a true token, we seek that thou wouldst answer their petition and grant them that this evening. O Lord, we humble ourselves before thee, who art King of kings and Lord of lords. Thou hast made all things for thy pleasure and for thy worship and praise. Lord, thou to whom all flesh shall come, do grant unto us that reverence and godly fear, that we might enter into thy courts and truly know that heaven is thy throne and the earth is thy footstool, and that we might be found here all present before God. Lord, do grant us something of the spirit that dear Cornelius and his house had, to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. O Lord, do command the blessing, even life for evermore. We pray for the real, saving, effectual work of thy Holy Spirit in sinners' hearts. We pray, Lord, that there might be none left to be deceived in their own souls, or left still dead in trespasses and sins. But, Lord, that thou wouldst awaken into life, and do grant that there might be that answering of the life and answering of the heart unto that quickening work of thy Spirit. For, Lord, truly, in truth, thy Spirit's work, though there is and are imitations of it, yet those imitations do not stand up unto the searching word of thine. And, O Lord, we do seek of thee that thou hast grant unto us that thy word might take from us all false refuges and refuges of lies, and that we might be founded upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Lord, we hear of one and a loved one taken home from Bethesda yesterday, and Lord, we are constantly reminded of thy dear people, those who have endured unto the end, those who have got past this mortality and past the devil and flesh and sin, and are with thee. We thank thee, Lord, for thy faithfulness. Bring thy people safely home. And, O Lord, we pray that that same real work and same endurance unto the end might be granted to each one here. O Lord, we pray for those that are in bereavement. We pray that thou hast comfort them and be with them at this time. We think of the residents at Bethesda who more often than other communities and other homes have death with them, and those that they have loved or communed with are taken from them. And we see for help for them and also the staff, that they might be upheld, and that thou hast blessed them in their work, and that thou hast grant thy peace and thy blessing amongst thy aged saints. And O Lord, we thank thee for the young people that are here this evening, and we know those at home with the children. We thank thee for the children, the little ones, and Lord, we pray that there might be even that heard this evening that is taken home, may it be laid upon those who come out, that they are hearing, not just for themselves, but for their wife or their husband, or those that are at home, and do help them to bring a little summary, or even one word of what has been spoken this evening home. For thou hast said as a statute in Israel, that they that tarry with the staff shall part alike. We see then that thou hast remembered thy promise, that thy word shall not return unto thee void. We do seek, Lord, that the fruits of thy death at Calvary, thy triumphant resurrection from the dead and ascension into heaven, might be conveyed unto our souls. Who bless us in the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank thee for the days of the Spirit, the days of the gospel, days under the promise, lo, I am with ye always, even unto the end of the world. And Lord, we do thank thee that thou dost still send forth labourers into the harvest. And we do thank thee that thou hast sent forth recently others into the harvest. O bless their ministry. May they dip their foot in oil, be made acceptable unto the brethren. And Lord, from amongst those that thou hast sent forth, Lord, remember also thy promise that I will give you pastors after mine own heart. And we come before the dear friends here, and we're mindful that they do not have a pastor. And we pray for them that thou would unite them in heart and exercise and provide for them an under-shepherd to go in and out amongst them. May they see thy hand and thy work in it, and that thou would be pleased to truly bless them with that seeking and crowning of that blessing, that they might know that thou hast heard their cries and that thou hast provided for them. So, Lord, we do seek this blessing upon them here. O Lord, do remember the dear deacons and support them and strengthen them. Bless them in their souls and hear their petitions for the people here. We wonder, O Lord, how much they really realise, how much they are in the prayers and hearts and exercises of their deacons here. O Lord, do help them one another to bear each other up. And Lord, we do seek that thou wouldst grant thy peace and thy blessing here. O Lord, we thank thee for the brethren. And we do pray that thou wouldst remember us this evening. O do grant us thy word graciously. Do grant us that the Lord Jesus Christ might be made precious to us, the constraining love of Christ known and felt in each heart. And Lord, that thou wouldst bless us indeed in our souls in such a way that we might be found with a cup that runneth over, and that we could not desire anything more, satisfied with the goodness of thy house, full of the favour of the Lord. O Lord, we do seek of thee that thou wouldst pour in a blessing, that there be not room then enough to receive it, that we might know the fullness that is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thou hast said that it hath pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. How we need it. We come before thee as sinners. We feel our sin. And Lord, what a comfort to know, Lord, what thou didst say concerning that dear woman, That is not deny that she was a sinner. That is know she was a sinner. But Lord, oh, she had that love and constraining love in her heart. And Lord, we beg of thee that those sinners, we might be made sinners with a love to the sinner's friend and Saviour, and that thou hast grant us to be sensible sinners, tender in thy fear, repenting sinners, sinners that mourn over our hardness and long for the softening warmth of thy grace, and that thou hast be pleased to again and again reveal that way of escape through the precious blood of the Lamb of God. We thank thee for the testimony from heaven. This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And O Lord, do grant that we also might be pleased to hear that precious name of Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. O Lord, remember those who know here what that means, their sins. O Lord, how we need deliverance and saving from our own sins. Lord, wash us, cleanse us through thy word, renew us again unto repentance, grant unto us that we might be what thou wouldst have us to be, act in the way thou wouldst have us to act, think how thou wouldest have us to think, and walk in the way that thou have us to go. O Lord, we mourn because of the abominations and sins and evils done in the land. We confess our part of sin of the whole, and beg of thee mercy that thy light might shine again in this our dark, benighted land. Shine around where the causes of truth are, and may we also be witnesses of thy mercy and love. O Lord, leave us not to bring thy precious word and gospel into disrepute by our careless, foolish walk and talk. Lord, O wash and cleanse us and keep us, and may we truly glorify thee and point to thy redeeming blood and say, behold, the way to God. We pray that thou would sanctify each affliction, each loss and each trial. Remember the sorrowful and do help those that are depressed in mind. Lord, do remember the anxious ones and help, Lord, those that are bowed down. Remember each in affliction and especially thy dear servants, that thou would kindly be with them and help them and strengthen them. Lord, we commit them each to thee. And now, Lord, help us as we turn to thy word. Shine upon it. Grant thy Holy Spirit. O, help us and make us thy mouthpiece indeed, truly sanctified and meet for the Master's use. Touch our lips with the live coal from off thine altar. And may thy precious blood be sprinkled upon all. O Lord, do bless the people here with the word of life in their souls. Send them not empty away. We ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 942. O God of grace, of love immense, how free thy favours to dispense. I to thy mercy seat repair, since thou hast said, I'll meet thee there. 942.
Seeking for the help of the Lord, I direct your prayerful attention to the first portion we read, Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 5, and reading just the first part of verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us. It is my prayer that this verse, this word laid upon my spirit will answer the inquiry of the first hymn, which was breathing after love to Christ. The love of Christ constraineth us. I want to speak to you on the constraining love of Christ. And I want to speak of it in the context that is here, with the Apostle Paul speaking, writing to the Corinthians. And he speaks first, and if we look at the first part of this chapter, and his sights are set on heaven. And he says that if this, our earthly house, this tabernacle, this body, were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And he had that faith, and he had that knowledge, and it was whether he was to live or die, he was the Lord's. Most blessed way to walk. He says it is a walk by faith, not by sight. But because of this, his desire was that whether absent or whether present, that we may be accepted of him. And he uses the reason there that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. And it is this that he then presses upon men, the fear of the Lord, the reality of heavenly things, and to appear before the presence of God. Lest we should have some, as many do, such vague feelings of eternity, of heaven, and probably no thoughts of hell at all. And he would have us to really think soberly and rightly that to be found in heaven and to be found in that hope is to be with the Lord and to stand before the Lord. And that it is then while we are here below that we then are to seek and labour, as he says, whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. But then he has those. And it's an amazing thing, really. The apostle was greatly blessed to the Corinthians, but several times he refers to this. He had those other teachers that were more eloquent than him, that had more greater outward show than him. And these were a constant trial and trouble to him and to the people that he ministered to and preached to. And he says in verse 12, for we commend not ourselves again unto you. He wasn't going to, as he had done before, give the seal of his apostleship and commend himself to them. He says, I will give something better. I will give you something, that ye may have somewhat to answer them. And he describes them, which glory in appearance and not in heart. And the words of our text really center in this, as if he would divide between the appearance and the heart, and impress upon them what is needed is a heart work, and the works and the fruit that flow out from God's work in the heart, and not to be deceived by an outward show that seemed all right, that would never get a soul to heaven, And you see, as he begins the next chapter, he says, "We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain." None will ever truly receive it in vain, but in appearance, those who seem to hear the gospel, hear the preached word, they profess to believe, they profess in their lives that they are a Christian, but in reality, they had not that work within. We don't want to just get through this life with an outward show and imitation, but no hard work. And this is what the apostle seeks to bring home unto the Corinthians. And so this, our text, and he says, whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God. Whether we be sober, it is for your cause. However we may act or behave ourselves, whether gravely or whether it is in the love and joy of the Lord. But he says this, for the love of Christ constraineth us. If you would say to them, whatever we do, whether we have joy and the blessings and joy of the Lord, or whether we are in exercise and sorrow and burden, that which comes outward, it is actually the spring of it, the source of it, is the constraining love of Christ. And to bring it into the context immediately here, he says, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then were all dead, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. He brings all of the people of God into one platform. It's a good thing, especially for a preacher to remember this, that he preaches to those and to the people of God that have these things in common. They were all dead. They were all dead in trespasses and sins. All that lived were all quickened into life by the same Spirit of God, and all share in that same blessings that come forth from Christ. And because of that, he says that henceforth they should live not unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. This constraint and this argument applies to every one of the people of God. Because everyone, if the Lord had left them, they'd still be dead in trespasses and sins on the high road to hell. And every one, the why that they are alive is because Christ passed by them and bid them live when they're in their sins. And they are what they are by the grace of God. And so with every one of the people of God, they had this constraint upon them that they should not live for themselves, but unto the Lord. If it was not for the Lord, they would yet be dead. But because of him they are alive. A selfish Christian, a Christian who says, I can't care what the Lord's will is or what his way is, that I want mine only, it doesn't answer to this work, inward work of the Spirit. The constraining love of Christ, the apostle says, that is what is the spring at all right fruits of the work of the Spirit in the heart. And so that is what I want to look at with the Lord's help this evening. For the love of Christ constraineth us. And I want to divide it firstly just to consider the love of Christ and then look at the constraining effect of that love. And then also consider what are some of the things that a soul is constrained to do and to walk in. Because this very word constrain, it means to compel or force towards or appear to compel, appear to force towards a course of action. We think of how the disciples on the road to Emmaus we read that they constrained him and he went in to eat bread with them. And it was a drawing, really, another word, constraining, to be drawn, a secret force to action. And so to look at some of those things. But firstly, what is spoken of here, the love of Christ. We might think first, well, what is this actually speaking of? Is it the love of Christ, or the love in Christ to sinners? Or is it, in a sinner, the love of Christ? If you think of it as a relationship, say a man and a woman, is it the love that one knows the other feels towards them, or is it the love that they feel towards that person? The love of Christ constraineth us. Because it is an action word, it's a constraining word, it is that which is felt in you. If you've got two people, two young people, and one loves the other one, but the other one doesn't love them, it'd be one way, isn't it? The one in whose heart is the love will be doing the action, the phone calling and the seeking the contact, but the other one, because they don't have love, there won't be that action. And we think of the word that John brings before us. We love him because he first loved us. And what we have here really is both. It is the love of Christ to his people, but it is because he loves them and shows them that love that then they feel it to him. And that is the constraining love. And that's what makes this love such a precious love. In a natural sense, if we love someone else, we've got no guarantee that they love us in return, unless they tell us and show us. But with the people of God, if the love of God is shed abroad in their heart and they feel love to the Lord, the only reason why that is because the Lord has first loved them. After Peter had denied his Lord and Master three times, our Lord met with him and he spoke to him and he asked him. You might say, if our Lord is going to comfort Peter, he wouldn't be asking him. He would tell him, Peter, in spite of all your denials, in spite of what you've done, I love you still. He didn't. This was a question, lovest thou me? Peter, what is in your heart? Do you still, after being in Satan's sieve, after denying me, do you still love me? And three times Peter had to answer. Lord, he said, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. The Lord knew his heart. Also, the love that Peter had was because the Lord had first loved him. It's very good to notice how the Lord dealt with Peter. Because if there's a soul here and they're asking, and does the Lord love me? Has the Lord loved me with an everlasting love? The way the Lord will show that is to drop some of that love into your heart and you will feel it to him. I won't say, and it will not be constant every day, every hour. It will not be so. But when the Lord sheds abroad that love in the heart by the Holy Ghost, you know the difference between what you are naturally and what you are without it and what you are when the Lord sheds that abroad. Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross I spend. And that will be where we feel and where we see that love unto the Lord. But here we have the love of Christ. Really, it is such a deep that the Lord should ever set his love upon his people. It is one of the most, well, it's a source of salvation and the most humbling doctrine, teaching, precious truth that could ever be sown. The eternal love of God. When we think of this earth and we think of the heavens and the stars, the sun, the moon, the might of God's creation, and then we have man, the pinnacle that God has made in his image, set him above the work of his own hands. But that man so rebels against him and goes and believes Satan and goes against the Lord, sin entering into the world and death by sin. And yet his dear people, he loved them, notwithstanding all. He saw me, says the hymn writer, lost and ruined in the fall, and loved me notwithstanding all. And that is an amazing love. I have loved thee with an everlasting love, is to be said of all of the people of God. And it is to be chosen in the Lord Jesus Christ from the foundation of the world. The Lord says of his people concerning his Father, thine they were, and thou gavest them me. And the Lord accepted them. In all of their filth, in all of their shame, in all of their guilt, in all of their lost and ruined condition. Might be one here. And I may remind you, those sins that are opened up to your view and your feeling, that cause you surprise and grief and amazement, the Lord knew every one of those before ever you committed them. The Lord knew them. He bore them. Laid on him in Gethsemane. And he bore them away in Calvary's tree. The Lord not only knows about, but knows by actually carrying them. And then the people of God are made aware of them and shown them what they are. But the love that the Lord has to take that people to agree to come, to agree to lay down his life, to agree to be their surety and to be their everlasting all. Greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. And our Lord says, and this follows on with what the apostle says here, ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. The love of Christ constraineth us. If ye love me, keep my commandments. That the love of Christ in itself, a deep really that knows no sounding, the source of every blessing and every favour and all that was done before you or I were born, that which was done in eternity past and that which was done at Calvary and that which is the subject of the intercession in heaven. When our Lord prayed in the 17th of John for his people, a beautiful illustration on earth of his prayer, I pray for them. Who is it that determines when the people of God are born into this world, where they are born, when they are born again, how they are born again? All that concerns that is all through and by the love of God. It is a foundation, blessed truth, a love that does not love because of what the sinner has done. He loves them in spite of their sins. What parent, what a wife or husband would be happy if the husband or wife said to their partner, I love you, well, because you bring home the pay packet, or because you make such good meals, and you thought that their love is dependent upon what they actually do. If I became ill or couldn't do these things anymore, then my husband, my wife wouldn't love me. They wouldn't love me just for myself. How would you feel if that was the case? But if you were told, I love you regardless of what you did. But when we think of the Lord's love to his people, he loves them when they are yet enemies to God through wicked works. We think of the Apostle Paul in all that he did, fighting against the Lord, his hatred to the Lord. And the Lord loved him. And when we realize that, then nothing can turn away that love of his people. We read that simple word, having loved his own, he loved them unto the end. There was nothing that could come in between that could take away that love, a love that is beyond any natural love, the love of the eternal God to his people. And what an expression of it as well, that in order to secure their pardon, their forgiveness and eternal life, that he takes into union with his divine person a body like theirs and soul yet sin accepted, forever to be in that body the same as theirs. Emmanuel, God with us. Before our Lord came upon this earth, he had not that body. Now he does. He will always have that body. He is the firstborn among many brethren. He is made like unto his brethren. And it is a precious example of that love that he has to his people. More marred than any man, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, because of his people's sin and the love that he had to them, the love of Christ. Well, may the Spirit be pleased to more open it up to us more, lead us to know something of that love of God in Christ Jesus. And it is to be a love that is shown to a sinner, imparted to a sinner, and the fruits of it enjoyed by the sinner, that then bring those returns and answers and feelings of love in that sinner's heart. And most important for that is not a person deciding whether they are going to study up on the love of God and they are going to work up a love in their own heart. You'll never do it. Well, I hope you'd never do it to any satisfaction yourself. I'm not saying we shouldn't study the Word and seek to read it and ask the Lord's blessing upon it. His faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But what we want it is to be bestowed. And a soul that mourns over their hardness and lack of love, that soul with that background will know the difference when the Lord softens the heart and sheds abroad his love. Often I've mentioned this, my people at home will know, I've spoken of the contrast in the Word of God and how needful that they are. And if you think of an artist that begins to paint, and the first thing he does, and sometimes we've seen this in supermarkets, artists that will paint very quickly, they'll paint the whole background black, and you look at it and you think, what a dull picture, what is going to be there? But his next strokes will be his whites, his golds, and the black is needed to make the beautiful picture that is to go on it. One of the most beautiful rainbows I saw over in Australia was in the most blackest cloud there could be. Beautiful rainbow, token of God's faithfulness and covenant. But the need of those contrasts, the soul that feels and knows that they are like in Isaiah 53, there is no form nor comeliness that we should desire him. No attraction, no love to him, no felt love. The language, the natural language, depart from me. I desire not the knowledge of thy ways. But what a difference when the Lord comes and drops in his love. And then there is that love unto him. The love of Christ. This word here is to be an answer to those that just have a show. A show, but not the spring of it is not love. What are some of the other springs that can be? You think of the Pharisees. They loved the praise of men, stood at the corners of the streets, made long prayers. Maybe with those of us in our churches, in our denominations. It's right to dress rightly, smartly, reverence the Lord in his house. But how many that come in and out of God's house, exactly dressed, punctual on time, everything may seem right and good and God honouring, and not one bit of it is because of this constraining love of Christ. Everything is just from some natural carnal motive and reason. Either we've been brought up that way, or like to be seen and to obtain the praise of men, or even think that by that we can obtain God's favour. And this is what the apostle was trying to warn the Corinthians of. No, bring it to you. Those things that you do, those things that I do they spring out of a constraining love to Christ? Or is there some other motive and some other reason why we do them? Very often, if there is another reason, we'll be the first one to criticize someone else if they don't do exactly what we do. A solemn thing to just have that outward appearance, but not in the heart. And so in the second place is that constraining effect of this love. In a way, in our text, the apostle says, for the love of Christ constraineth us. He could put it round this way and so said, the love of Christ has this characteristic. It has this effect. Wherever the love of Christ is, it will have a constraining effect. It won't leave that soul where it finds him. It won't leave them unimpressed and cold. It will have an effect. And also it will be this. The love of Christ constraineth us. It will be that which that soul will look at the motives of it, and that they'll realize that spring of what these things come from. And one sense of that as well is to realize what we are without that constraining. I sometimes think in these ways, and I think the blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ are indispensable blessings. Without Christ and without everything that is joined unto the gospel and unto that salvation through his redemption at Calvary, then there could be no salvation and no saving. If ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. There's none other name given among men whereby we must be saved. And so though there are those imitations of the true faith of God, really there cannot be an imitation of it. It is indispensable. It cannot be that some doing works that are constrained by the love of God, and others are walking in a different way, and they say, well, we don't need that love of God. We don't need that dropped in. We can do it anyway. The scriptures speak of it as those that walk in the sparks of their own kindling, and those that really are offering up strange fire. You think of those in the wilderness there, the altar, the fire that was belonging to the tabernacle, it was kindled from heaven. Many, many times in the scripture we read of sacrifices, Gideon's one, the one on the top of Mount Moriah when David, after numbering the children of Israel, they weren't kindled by man. God answered from heaven, the same as he did on the top of Mount Carmel with Elijah. And in the wilderness, that fire, it came from heaven. And when then they lit the censers and the other use of fire, they took from that flame. And with those, Dathan, Korah and Abiram, those they offered strange fire. It did not come from that way. You might say, well, here is two censers. They both got fire. They both got censers, censed rising up. What's the difference? One came from the altar and one was from man. You see, with Cain and Abel, we have two worshippers, we have two offerers, we have two that are offering up before God. One is a lamb, offering a lamb, the other is offering the fruits of the field. But what a difference between the two. And it does matter how those offerings are offered up. Now, some say, well, God sees the heart, so it doesn't matter about the outward side at all. It does matter how we behave and how we act, but it does matter vitally from what spring that comes out from. Does it flow from the constraining love of Christ? And that will be then a strong influence and principle of work within. And if I know anything of it, and especially in the first works of grace, but also right through, there'll be that, we read, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but where there is the constraining love of Christ, there'll be that desire to walk in that way in spite of the fear of man. And there'll be many cries to the Lord, Lord, give me help to walk in this way. Give me help to be unashamed of thee before men. And you may fail again and again and again in your efforts to do that. And you may again and again come home and confess it before the Lord. How poor you are, how you, like Peter, have denied your Lord, how you have not walked in the way that you know you want to, but you fear men, and you cannot perform this. And you might go on for days, for months in that way. And then the Lord comes, and he blesses your soul, and he drops some of his love in your soul. And the next time you're in that situation that you've laboured under, you've feared, it's as if men are nothing. And you're able to walk and to go in that way with love in your heart and with not worrying about what man says or what man does at all. And what you have tried to do, and you right desire to do because you see it is the will of God and right way to do, but you hadn't got power. You hadn't got ability, you hadn't got the help to do it. But when the Lord dropped in his love, immediately you had that help. Then you've got the power, then you've got the strength. And then it sweetly compels and constrains, forces you, presses you in to do it without you even realizing it. The people of God are willing in the day of his power. And really the power of God in a sinner is his love. What will the Lord do? Will he drive his people with fear? Will he send them to Sinai? Will he drive them in the way? Jacob said when Esau wanted to drive his people, his children, the little ones, he said he was going to lead on gently. If you drive but one day, they will all overdrive, they will all perish. How different is the Lord's way? Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He will constrain, he will draw. Show that love, drop it into the heart, and that will do the thing. That will do it. And this is what the apostle is pressing to the people. I put this before you, dear friends, as a real token of the love of God to you. When that love is dropped into your heart, and by its constraining power, you do what you could not do before. You walk in a way you could not walk before. And that makes what you do, maybe you have done before, but to do it in such a different way, with love and joy and willingness in your heart. That is what we need, the constraining love of Christ. We read that second portion in Luke, and it really is an example of this, and I use this in looking at the those things that we are constrained to do. And we see here the Pharisee, and in one sense here in Luke 7 and verse 36, where we read, there in that Pharisee's house, the Pharisees, to all the estimation of those about, they were the pinnacle religious men. They did everything right, and they prayed right. They had a very high opinion of themselves. They were just like the apostle says here, gloried in appearance, but not in heart. Paul was a Pharisee originally. He knew the difference. The Lord turned him from a Pharisee to one that wanted and needed that in the heart. Well, our Lord gives this example here with this woman and how that she came into the house there. What a constraint of love that drew her in spite, and she would have known how that Pharisee would have viewed her. She would have known with what disdain and what reputation she had and the things that he cast at her, but her Christ was there. And our Lord explained all that she had done and what Simon the Pharisee had not done. And he uses this example then of those that had been forgiven much, they love much. And this woman, he says, that woman, he says, seest thou this woman? And he says that she is a sinner. She said, wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, he doesn't deny them, are forgiven, for she loved much. And what an effect of that love. How that she washed his feet. How that she was found in that humble attitude before him. Just as an aside, some have said regarding the length of hair for a woman, how long? Long enough to do what this dear woman did. Wash the feet of her Lord. I know in some perhaps with illness or other reasons are not able to grow that long, but especially for the young, a good principle to follow. But again, oh, may we press it that it comes as from the heart, not just because I'm going to be seen of men and I'm going to do this and be well thought of. No. May it be really a spring from the heart. And that will make all of the difference. Otherwise, it's your glory, not the Lord's. And so we have this example here. But we think it will have an effect in many ways. Like this dear woman, what she did with her Lord. Our Lord is in heaven, but his dear people are on earth. even our Lord gave that example of those that administer to his brethren, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these my brethren. And I believe why they done it to the brethren is because they love Christ, and they love Christ's image in the brethren. They had this mark. We know that we had passed from death unto life because we love the brethren, and because Christ's image is there, and we love them for Christ's sake. I'll tell you another mark of the love of Christ in this as well. And I think, and this will be an echo in some of the brethren here, you have those that you love for Christ's sake, but you don't turn, you're not ignorant of their faults. Someone will say, oh yes, but they do this and this, or this about that person. You say, yes, I know that's the fault of theirs, but I love them for Christ's sake. Now there's that word that love covereth a multitude of sins. It covereth a multitude of infirmities and imperfections. It's not, perfection is not in the flesh. And where the love of Christ is in our heart, and we see the work of the Spirit and Christ work in a brother, that will pass over all. Dear Job said to his friends, when they were all misunderstanding him, he said, why? Why persecute thou you me, seeing that the root of the matter is within me? There is the union, a true union. This is what we're exhorted to in Galatians, to seek to maintain, keep that unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That unity God gives in giving that love and blessing to each of his people, and they are then knit together, and that token is there. And so it will be in that practical way. We often might spiritualize our Lord's parable and speaking of the Good Samaritan, but may we never forget the practical aspect of it, that he actually went down to where that need was and he helped him. And that should be the path and way of the people of God. And it is because of this constraining love of Christ, if that is the spring of it. But then it also will be in our private devotions. And again, those of you who love the Lord, do not get into those backsliding conditions and ways where your private devotions are hard and they're dry, and perhaps that they're not as consistent as they should be. You might groan over it, and you might pray and long that you might have them revived again. You know, one drop of the love of God, it revives it in a moment. Yes, we seek it, we pray, we ask for it from the Lord. But what we want is not that efforts and work from the creature, but for that dropped in from heaven. Then it will make us haste to the closet. You only got to see it in a natural way. You get a young person and love each other, you can't hold them back for each other. Every day off and every time, every opportunity, they're with each other. And the constraining love of Christ will have that effect too. You want to go as often as you can to his courts, to the prayer meetings, to your private devotions. And it won't be to be seen of men. It's because the Lord is there. And you want to see him. And that will make you love the house of God. If the Lord has visited you with his love there, you'll know. You know, the dear disciples, they went to the tomb where they'd last seen their Lord. Maybe some of you, you come into the house of God, you say, at last, we're so blessed there. When I was sitting at my desk in the study last evening, it came to my mind, I thought, the Lord first blessed my soul over in Australia sitting at that desk. And the Lord blessed my soul there over in this land at this desk in this study. And you know, though pieces of wood and furniture, they can't speak, yet sometimes it's such a reminder. And you sit there and you look and you think, it brings that memory are the visits and blessings of the Lord. You might have rooms in your house like that, or a place down the garden, or in the Lord's house, spots that the Lord has made precious, where he dropped in his love and it brought that love in your heart, and it made you do what you wouldn't do before, or hadn't, or couldn't do before. And you know where it comes from. It comes from the Lord. The Lord has done that. The Lord has given you a drop of his constraining love. And dear friends, it will also be in regard to the ordinances of the house of God. I must mention this, dear friends. It must be. The Lord's commission was to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. A believer is to be baptized. Those that know this constraining love of God are to be baptized. And may it be that the Lord does bless with that love so that it does constrain in that way. But there is that in which the Lord, when he blesses his people, this is bound up with it. You know, I remember when the Lord blessed my soul, and what he attracted me to was the Lord's Supper. And what I saw in the Lord Jesus Christ, in some words, in the cheering words years ago, "What think ye, humble believer, of the bread and the wine, blessed memorials of Christ's dying love? Why do you hesitate to partake of these emblems?" And it came as a shock to me as I read it. I read it under the feeling sense of the love of God in my soul. I thought, me? Me, a church member? I had sat many times at the back of the chapel and seen the Lord's people at the front and felt such a gulf between. I felt like Ruth, not like one of thine handmaidens. But I couldn't deny the attraction and drawing I had to that ordinance. I knew from the scriptures that the way to that ordinance was through baptism. And that is how the Lord drew me and constrained me to walk in that way. And it is the path of the love that the Lord has to his people. If ye love me, keep my commandments, and I would then lovingly bring it before any that does know this. And if the Lord answers through the word here and the prayer in that first hymn, that 'tis a point I long to know. Do you really love the Lord or no? Has he given you this constraining love? Is there not been one point, one aspect, one thing? It's the same love in that one point as if it was in everything. The law says, whoso offendeth in one point is guilty of all. But the blessings of the gospel, the blessings, if the Lord pardons one sin, he hath pardoned all. If the drop of Christ's precious blood be applied to a sinner, that blood cleanses from all sin. The Lord didn't stop at just one with the dear woman. He said all her sins, which are many, they're all forgiven and all pardoned. And so may it be then that we are blessed with that full fruit of it in showing to sinners round, not from any other motive, but love to Christ. I think one of our hymns speaks of it, from love to Christ, we wish to walk this path and in this step. That is the right way and right motive to walk. Well, may the Lord bless this word. For the love of Christ constraineth us. Amen.
God willing, Mr. Robert Field is expected to preach next Lord's Day. And next week there'll be a prayer meeting on Monday evening, and Mr. Pocock is expected to preach on Tuesday evening. Let us close with hymn 941. Jesus, my Lord, my life, my all, prostrate before thy throne I fall. Fain would my soul look up and see my hope, my heaven, my all in thee. 941.
Jesus.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.